Shop Woodhouse Mazda first and experience the Woodhouse difference. At Woodhouse Mazda, we make car buying simple. From the Mazda CX-9 to the Mazda 3, we are sure to have something that fits your needs. Visit one of our two convenient locations in Omaha to shop our showroom or take a test drive.
Not a surprise, today is National Candy Corn Day.
It could be tomorrow? Or does Halloween just trump all?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't think if you haven't tried candy corn in the last 20 years, you cannot get in this conversation. Because it's easy to say today candy corn is trash.
Right. Easy.
But candy corn is good like for one day a year.
Yeah.
It does fall into the category of candy that talks to you. You can't walk past a bowl of candy corn and just keep breezing on by. Is that true, Brian Munson, who joins us now? Can an open, when we could, an open bowl of candy corn, could you just breeze right by it?
Back in the day, probably not. Yeah, I would have to say that I'd probably have to stop off and get a little bit.
Yeah, and see, there's the other thing is people add peanuts to it, and then it really talks to you. And it just you have to eat it.
I used to love as a child, as people today have no idea. When Mom and Dad used to take you through the bank drive, and they'd throw the little packet of candy corn at you when the leaves started turning colors, right?
That's right.
So used to get the Sixlets for 11 months a year, or Smarties sometimes, you know, here and there, and then you get the little packet of candy corn for about that 2 to 3 week window around Halloween. So that was always a good trip when you're like, hey, Mom, where are you going? Go to the bank? I'm going with you, because it was free candy.
If you had to punish your kid, would you give him candy corn or Peeps?
Candy corn or what?
Peeps.
I don't know.
You know they show up around Easter time, the little marshmallow things?
Oh, yeah. My son does not like the marshmallow stuff. Candy corn, I think he's good with. The one thing I always missed about this time, of course, going back to my youth, probably the other thing that people think is garbage, the circus peanuts.
Oh, yes, that is garbage.
Circus peanuts?
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that was good stuff back in the day. That was living good right there.
Well, hey, so I'm garnering from this conversation that your eating habits are a lot better as you've gotten older.
I don't know if I would go ahead and use the transitive property there.
the problem with the circus peanut is it left an aftertaste.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's National Candy Corn Day, so celebrate alike.
I'm going to have to do that. I will have to partake in that.
What were some of your takeaways from last Saturday in Columbus?
I mean, I don't want to get too caught up on the score. The score was what the score was. I think that there were definitely things that Nebraska fans should feel better about, particularly when it came to, I think, Nebraska looking better, performing better in the trenches, because that's something that Nebraska just has not been able to do in the last couple of seasons. They haven't matched up well. They haven't shown, you know, that they have any type of physical presence there. They've not been able to take anything over. They're not even able to, like, just go to a stalemate and just say, you know, we may be outmatched on the outside, but we can win the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, those things. I thought Nebraska did more than hold their own throughout basically the entire game. And there were some guys that were really impressive. I thought that obviously there was some inconsistent play at some other positions. I didn't like the fact that Nebraska decided not to really challenge to throw the football down the football field. I know that Ohio State has got some incredibly scary wide receiver talent. I don't know if anybody tuned in, but Herb Street, you know, was over there because Desmond Howard was going off saying, I don't know if they have the kind of skill position guys they had the year before. And Hershey's like going, I think you're going to go ahead and see right now that they're just reloading, and they did. They really did reload. They have some really scary talent at those positions right there. And I think Nebraska losing by 35, and I think that you kind of look at that whole situation right there, I still think that they can go look away and go, we need to get better here. We did get better there. And I think that we stand to be better against these other teams because Ohio State still is that crown jewel in the Big Ten and probably the only national championship contender kind of hope out of the conference.
Was this a Zach Duvall win on Saturday?
Absolutely. It's a huge war daddy win for Zach. He, they, he put his they put their money where their mouth was. They went out there on the field. They were physically imposing. Those guys look like a D1 team coming off the bus. Like, you don't want to mess with them too much. Ty Robinson be the first guy off the bus for me each and every week. Those are the kind of guys that they're trying to get. Those are the kind of guys they're trying to develop into. And those are the kind of guys they want on the football field. They definitely looked the part.
And then there are and some of those guys have been in the program for a couple of years, so they've gone through the full year cycle of strength and conditioning. When I went back and watched the game, and he didn't flash all the time, but when he was in your screen, I thought Payne played really, really well. I think there is a lot to work with there for a guy that's a junior college guy. And, you know, it always seems, Brian, and you and I talk about this a lot because you have pretty good knowledge of the junior college, it seemed to be a hit or miss for Nebraska. If they get a junior college guy and he's good, he's really good. Or if they miss very poorly and we don't see him play very much. I think they have something that they have discovered from Payne, who I think is a really, really smart football player. But I also think benefited from playing at a really good junior college program.
I don't disagree with you there. He did flash. In fact, he required my brother and I to kind of go diving for our phones to get a roster. I couldn't quite place who it was. I felt like he's done some work on his body. This was a guy that I think that we all kind of agree was we were talking about him playing in a four, hand in the dirt, as a 3-4 defensive lineman. So to kind of move him back now and stand him up as a 3-4 walk up outside, those guys, you just can't do that. Mm-hmm. You have to have some better athleticism just as a way of kind of generically putting it. You have to be able to do things differently, pin your ears back, move laterally, be able to do a lot of different things as opposed to just two-gapping. You need to be able to potentially grab a guy in coverage and pin your ears back and go get the quarterback. That position is incredibly versatile. And to be able to kind of drop back off of that four technique defensive end back to a 3-4 outside linebacker says a lot about him as a player.
Well, I tell you what, and I don't know what the game plan will be against Northwestern and moving forward. What you just mentioned, his versatility, I liked him when he had a hand in his dirt and they would go with three defensive linemen and he was that third coming down from the second level. I think he could be a major disruptor as he gets his feet, on the ground of playing at this speed and at this level. He's somebody who, man, I am on extra watching for Northwestern because I think Nebraska, they knew he was going to be a contributor. I think they found a gem.
I really do, too. I think that was a guy that I feel like they knew what they were absolutely going for. They saw it. Again, I think it goes back to what we've talked about, too. They have a keen eye. They have a keen eye for what it is that they're looking for in the skill set and the things that those guys are being asked to do. That I think that when they saw Payne, because we have to remember, there was another defense, and his name's escaping. Another guy from, I think, Arizona or New Mexico, that was junior college that I think essentially was dropped, that played basically the same position as Payne. And they held on to Payne, and that was one guy right there that took, I think, a late official visit. And I think it was given Nebraska a little bit of a murmur, that they could potentially see this guy walk away. So I think it was to NC State. But I think in the end, Nebraska knew what they were going after right there. They pegged him really, really well.
Where do you think, and he played more special teams on Saturday, and I know he was injured last year, but he was a guy that was celebrated when he committed to Nebraska, Noah Pola-Gates. Brian, where do you think he's headed? I thought he'd be further along right now. Maybe I'm off.
Well, I think the injuries held him back, number one. I think number two, this was a guy that I think it became at least a little bit clearer to me or evident to me that physically he was a very undersized safety coming out of high school. I mean, this was a guy that I don't even know if he was 190 pounds. He certainly wasn't 200 pounds. I think that there was definitely a misunderstanding or a misread about where it is initially that he could possibly fit in. And I think that there was obviously some people that were impressed with him athletically that could see him maybe rolling down and playing into some nickel situations. But I think in the long run, they've kind of still kept him in the classification of being a safety. But it's really about, you know, getting past the things, the nicks, the bruises, the any type of problems that you're having that are keeping you off the football field, and then developing your body to get you ready to play at that level. So I think that that's hurt his progress. I think he's had to catch up to that. I think that there's some things about having him on special teams that gives you a positive sign about where Nebraska sees him at down the line, because that's always been kind of a natural progression to give guys that chance to see the speed of the game, see how these guys are moving, see what you have to do to adjust your angles. That's a great place on kickoff coverage or kickoff return or punt return or whatever to see all that, and you drink from the fire hydrant a little bit in that way. And then you can apply basically those things that you're getting, although it's not directly dropping into coverage, it is still having to make a tackle or getting off the block or assessing, you know, which angle you're going to take. So that's I think, big. I think it's still a good thing that he's on special teams right now.
Two wide receivers from your area that have been in the program. It's not like they just showed up. Your thoughts on where Damarian Houston and Jamie Nance are going?
Yeah. Those are a little bit of a question mark, right? Nance was a big speed guy. A big speed guy when everything seemed to be about speed in that recruiting class in 2019. He was a big get, because he was a big track guy, and Damarian Houston wasn't slow by any means, but seemed to have a little bit longer frame than Nance, if I remember correctly. I don't have their sheets up, and I'm not comparing their bios, but for me also, there was a little bit more of a shake and a little bit more of a flash when you put Houston's film on there over Nance, that seemed to obviously be able to just beat people to certain places on the football field because he had that natural speed. I think it's one of those things where you start getting a little bit concerned right now in year. Well, they see they had a redshirt year, and they're now in their redshirt freshman year?
Yes.
Particularly with the inability to throw the football down the field, you have to start kind of asking yourself why and where those guys are at. Because it seems to me both those guys have an ability to kind of open things up and help out with that more vertical pass game, particularly Nance, because of speed. So I hope that you start seeing an increased role. I just think the passing game in general for last weekend was a little bit conservative. I think that obviously they realized what kind of cornerbacks they were up against. And I don't know if they really didn't know how they were going to match up front, were they going to give Eden a little bit more time. But I think that those guys in the long term are going to have to play a role when it comes to this season.
So we know that there are young guys. They've recruited a lot of guys for the wide receiver room recently and now into the future. And you think another week off this weekend, maybe we'll see some different combinations coming up for Northwestern. But let's talk about recruiting, because after this weekend, that middle of December gets closer and closer, and it's kind of the great unknown with college football, because anybody that is signing, or more than likely that is signing in mid-December, hasn't been to your campus. Nebraska has been kind of quiet for a couple of weeks. What do you think happens here down the stretch? You think anything will happen here soon in terms of recruiting, either an addition, subtraction, or more traction with a prospect?
Yeah, I certainly hope that there are. I think the guy, obviously, Patrick Payton is a guy that I would, although we have not been able to reach him, he seems like a guy to where there may be a little bit of smoke, could not necessarily have one foot out of the class, but it seems like a guy anyway that I think some schools are interested in. He seems like a guy that people are keeping tabs on, whether it was Penn State or somebody else along those lines. It's like they know that obviously he's a very talented individual, changing high schools junior to senior year, and flipped on a previous commitment that he may be approachable. He may be a guy that you can go ahead and go in and get. As far as like guys that I see, you know, I thought maybe with Cameron Valdez last weekend that Nebraska, Valdez seemed like the last guy at running back, at least to me, that seemed like had a real interest, a strong interest, and ended up going to Texas Tech, I believe. But I don't think that that's really going to be, you know, I think that that was where Nebraska has to go ahead and say, okay, well, we struck out there. But I think that, you know, in the coming weeks up to signing day in December, you got to turn and look to Las Vegas. And I think you start still looking at defensive line help and the lack of commitments on that spot in the class. I think you look at Lalili Savea, the defensive end from Las Vegas, the four-star. Very interesting likes and retweets and tweets this weekend, by the way, at the same time the Nebraska football game was going on. He seemed to be highly involved in and interested in that game, and particularly tweeting about players getting kicked out for targeting. I think things are looking very, very good there for Nebraska. He's a guy that's told us that, you know, he knows where he's going, but he's not going to announce anything until signing day. So we got to wait about 6 weeks to kind of hear it. But I think Nebraska is in the driver's seat for him to get into the class.
Hey, it was after we talked last week. It's unfortunate for prospects, unfortunate for everybody that's surrounding the U.S. Army All-American game that has been postponed. I think, you know, a couple of the All-Star games are still on. But what do you think will happen with those games where either players increase their stock or they get to have the fun of, you know, picking a hat and having the ceremony and all that stuff that goes with it?
Yeah, it's disappointing, but it's the environment we're living in. I think the U.S. Army or whatever they're calling it now, the U.S. All-American game. I think to be safe from a COVID perspective, that they're going to have to probably all end up going that way and canceling their activities unless something, you know, super happens down the line with vaccinations or whatever. That being said, at this point in time right now, though, because this thing is going to take, it takes a lot of logistical coordination and planning to kind of pull all those things together, because you don't just have a day of a game. You have a week of practices leading up and getting everybody to San Antonio. And then you have a combine that follows it on Sunday. So there's a lot of activities that happen in that 7 day window. I think that it's very similar for the other teams, even if they don't have the combine, that they have that 5-6 days where they've got to kind of pull things together. And it's tough logistically. And how do you come in from 60, 70, you know, separate bubbles that those guys are coming from and bring them all together and then just kind of hope and feel that it's all going to kind of work out. That's a little dangerous there, because you don't have that 2 week kind of getting everybody together into a single bubble.
Hey, there's another thing that I know we all get riled about when we talk about recruiting, and we take some enjoyment in it, and you know the state really well. Help us through this week in recruiting for Tom Herman. 5-star local quarterback out. He might be going to Ohio State, by the way. And then yesterday they lose a 4-star wide receiver out of their class of 2022. Those two things happen about 6 weeks from signing day. What red flag goes off in your head?
Yeah, it's a huge one. And you've seen Gunnar Helm, you know, trying to pick up the flag as far as the 2021 class under Herman and carry it forward to tell him, you know, that he's still solid into the class. I tried to mention up on Husker Online, Red Sea Scrolls, about the quarterback from South Lake Carroll, because he's a dude. That's a number one quarterback in the nation we're talking about there.
Let's stop right there real quick. You're the number one quarterback in the nation. Why at the, and you know, every coach kind of wants that starting point to be their quarterback, the franchise future quarterback, and then they can build off. Why at this late stage would somebody in his stature get out?
I thought about that a little bit yesterday, and I think what it comes down to is, of course, you got Fields at Ohio State that'll be leaving, transitioning on to the NFL, and you look at what Ohio State has right now in terms of quarterback development. Does Texas have that same kind of historical development, you know, here recently when it comes to guys that they're producing? No, they don't. In fact, probably one of their better prospects, probably one of the better ones that they've seen, left Austin in Bushell, and he's having a career at SMU. So that, to me, it raises a flag in itself. I mean, I think that you have to, as those guys are, as they come out and you're kind of being called that next guy, you know, wherever it is you're going, or they're seeing you as a guy that's going to play on Sundays at some point, you got to kind of look at that about where you're going to get the best possible development and where you're going to play in the best possible system, and then you can go then and be a factor and get a chance potentially to go sit in the green room and get drafted. But I don't think that there's a great case for that right now out of Austin.
Wow. I'm also looking, Tom Herman, when he was at Iowa State and he was calling plays, was really popular. Then a little bit at Ohio State, he was pretty popular. But boy, his Q rating has gone way down since he was the head coach at Houston and Texas. You don't find a lot of people that back him up and say, man, no, Coach Herman's a very likable guy. I'm sure a lot of Texas fans aren't doing that because they're only 13-7 since their win over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and they got a huge game in Stillwater tomorrow. But, man, I see those two things back-to-back days. That is such a giant red flag of what's going on inside of that program when prospects are saying, I just don't think I'm the right fit for them. What do you mean you're not the right fit? You're one of the top players in their class.
Right. And I think the one thing that came along with Herman too in the state of Texas was UT was sick of seeing players leave the state. And the alumni and the administration came down and said, we need a guy that can out recruit the likes of LSU and Oklahoma and anybody else who wants to come down here and get our guys to leave the state. We should have the pick of the litter. And Herman was one of the guys that was the first head coach ever to land a five-star to an FCS school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that in itself was, you know, that's historical. That's one of those things that I think that they saw that and they go, that's the kind of guy that we need here in Austin. Obviously, he had a successful system and stuff like that's going on, but it just has not carried over and had the type of success in Austin.
Wow. Well, we'll see. That's a huge game for Texas tomorrow in Stillwater.
Maybe the only one of the day I watch, unfortunately.
Hey, so one other quick thing after our little conversation here about Texas. We just saw Justin Fields. We know Nebraska is making a commitment to that position. Joe Milton may be the guy that changes things for Jim Harbaugh. There are other young quarterbacks that have big rankings coming into their respective schools that are showing up in the Big Ten. Could the Big Ten make a transition where they become a destination for Big Ten quarterbacks? Or top-level quarterbacks, I should say?
I think it's absolutely possible. I think that you have, number one, you have to have blue blood schools, and there is a great number of those universities, or just right on the hairy edge of being considered that, or could be in the argument for. So you have to have that first of all, number one, and you have to have that kind of that track record of guys that can get out of there and go and have success in the NFL. So you've got to have some sort of that historical with whoever your coaching staff is right now to go ahead and show that you can produce those kinds of guys. And you have to have tradition. You have to have tradition of just the school in general. I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult to kind of, as on the coattails of that right now, as like Indiana, you know, potentially, or Rutgers, to say, hey, Big Ten's becoming the spot for all these great quarterbacks. I don't think that they're going to have as easy a time as kind of using that as the go-to line, the pitch line to approach a quarterback of five-star potential. But you do, or you are going to have a way to go ahead and say, look, we're stepping it up. We have to step it up. Mm-hmm. This is the league where all the great quarterbacks are coming out of right now. And you can look across the league, and I think that you can sell that to those players about quarterback play.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of first-round guys that have come out of the Big Ten, but there's some young quarterbacks that possibly could turn the tide. Brian, as always, I appreciate it. Enjoy Halloween, and next week, fingers crossed, we'll be talking about another game for Nebraska at Northwestern.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Be safe.
And so Brian Munson from Rivals. We got Brian Christopherson coming up here in a little bit. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I think we all need to take a deep breath. And we need to band together because there is another national honk that, because when you talk about Nebraska, people pay attention. Put Nebraska on TV, people pay attention. You talk about Nebraska, you write about Nebraska on national shows, people pay attention. Paul Feinbaum is the latest to join the let's go after Nebraska and let's try and rile some people up. Well, we're not going to get riled up. We're going to have some rules and we're going to have some clarification on Paul Feinbaum's comments about Nebraska continuing to embarrass themselves. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show.